This episode of The Edge is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 180,000 titles for smartphone, tablet, and desktop. To get a free audiobook of your choice and help Trek.fm at the same time, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm. And also by Enterprise in Space, an international program of the nonprofit National Space Society. Find out how you can help science and education and become a virtual crew member aboard the NSS Enterprise Orbiter by visiting enterpriseinspace.org. And if you want to join the conversation and share your thoughts on this episode, join the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type B-A-B-E-L into the Facebook search field. We look forward to seeing you there.
You're listening to Trek FM.
What have you done out there on the edge of Federation space?
Hello and welcome to Tracks from the Edge, the show on Trek.fm, where we take a look at all of the episodes of Star Trek Discovery and provide audio commentary for them. I'm Mike.
I'm Max.
And today we're going to be taking a look at Star Trek, Short Treks, Season 2, Episode 5, The Girl Who Made the Stars.
Yeah, she made those stars somehow with stuff.
Yeah, and this episode is, I think, the final Discovery Short Trek for the time being. I think the next episode will be a Picard-focused Short Trek, and because of that will probably appear in the feed for the line. So
well, we gotta play that by ear. We gotta know what that ends up being, man.
Yeah. So far all we know is there's two girls who don't like each other who then become friends.
What if it fits into Discovery continuity in some really specific way? What if it's somehow a Discovery Short Trek that somehow is relevant to Picard? Oh my God, what?
Just go to the master feed and you'll find it. It'll be there. But it is kind of interesting. Like, if you look at the credits for all of these Short Treks, like, they all say, like, created by Brian Fuller and Alex Kurtzman.
Yeah. You know,
because there must be something there because of the whatever. I'm very curious to see, like, how those credits will play out with Picard. Are we going to get a preview of what the main theme is for Picard? Because of the, I don't know. Well, it's just be interesting to see. Anyway, we're not talking about Episode 6 of Short Treks Season 2. We're talking about Episode 5 of Short Treks Season 2. So, should we start this up?
We should totally start it up.
Okay. Oh, wait. One thing that we should say before starting it up. Sorry.
All right, let's say it.
This episode was directed by Olatunde Osunsanmi, who is the lead director on Star Trek Discovery, and it is written by Brandon Schultz, who wrote, he wrote Season 2, Episode 11 of Star Trek Discovery, which was the episode where I think you first see Burnham's mom for like an extended period of time for more than just one shot.
Yeah, that's the one where like she goes into detail about all of the time travel she's done and has that crazy speech about how time is alive.
Something like that.
Yeah. Stalks you all your life.
Yeah. It's a time is the fire in which we burn.
Yeah.
It's a predator. Yeah. Or a companion. I don't know. Anyway.
No, that's Picard.
All right. So should we watch this?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay. We'll give a countdown, and then we will start the episode up in 3, 2, 1, start. Oh, there's the Discovery.
The Discovery's flying. It's doing its thing.
Star Trek
shows up.
Short Treks. Kind of interesting that this is the first Short Trek in which Burnham appears.
Yeah. And it's weird. It's surprising. I did not see that coming.
Yeah. I thought it was going to be, I mean, it makes sense that it's, you know, to tie it in, that it's Burnham's dad telling her this story.
And there's the plush of frame. Oh my God, I want that.
Yeah, I know. I know. Well, if people will buy it, I'm sure they'll make it. So, you know, I mean, it makes sense that it is the telling of the story, right? And not just the story. Because I had it in my head that it wasn't going to have this framing device. But it totally makes sense to have the framing device. So
it also gives them some continuity latitude. They can have some stuff happen that doesn't make sense.
Right, logically. Right, exactly. If you just say, like, once there was a girl, you know, then it's like, well, I mean, you think that Ephraim and Dot had some continuity issues. It's like, holy crap. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, you know,
the stars didn't exist until she threw stuff into the air.
Right. But if it's a bedtime story with a framing device, then, I mean, it's not like The Princess Bride takes place in, you know, that continuity with Columbo and the kid from Wonder Years. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just a story. So, yeah. So, I, you know, this is pretty cool, too. I know in the last episode I was like, oh, no, I'm not sure about the animation. But, no, it totally works here. It's just kind of a stylized version. It's you know, in the same way that, you know, like Into the Spider-Verse has a style. You know, not that it's the same style, but I think it works.
Yeah. I mean, I think they could have even gone, you know, simpler with it and like gone crazier with the lighting and colors, because like then it would look more like a painted storybook, but like it works the way it is. Like the only issue is that there are times where like the animation is really good, like when she meets the alien creature, it's like, oh my God, is this where is the line in reality here? Because, like, this is a well-designed ship and spacesuit. This is pretty detailed information for a bedtime story.
Yeah. No, I like what they do here, the way that they have, you know, the voice of the dad, who is Sonequa Martin-Green's husband, by the way, who played the dad on the show, right? So same actor. Like I like that they have him as like all the voices, and then obviously the girl who's playing Michael Burnham is the, you know, same. I like that, and the character design is the same and everything. Like that's cool. That's yeah. It's a cool way to tell this story, and I think it works. It's very cute, you know.
Yeah, I mean, like, there are some sort of weird storytelling devices going on here that are interesting, and this is a really cool episode. I think that this is interesting. I like wondering where the reality is, because it presumably there is some sort of true story at the core of this.
Yeah, because I mean, here they have like aliens showing up. Like that's not something that you would normally expect in this type of story, because usually this type of story is something which is passed down for generations. And
unless aliens landed on Earth, dude, watch the History Channel. It happened.
I'm just saying, like, even if it did, like the way that it's like synthesized is not as aliens. It's as, you know, whatever, gods or whatever, but they're not talking about. And then the alien got back in its ship. And
the alien
away.
Used a hologram to display a bunch of information about space. And the girl was like, what are you talking about? There's no such thing as stars. Space is just a big black sky.
Yeah. So it's interesting. It's interesting that they did that. And I was trying to think, like, is that an alien that we are familiar with? Like, is there some way to make this story work or in some form or another? And I don't necessarily know that it does.
I always want to go, like, anytime there's like a new like alien from the past, I always be like, oh, it's the Iconians. Yeah. That's got to be it, right? Because they're so cool. But I think we know that they were more or less bipedal, humanoidish. Yeah. So that's kind of a thing. And that crazy abyss alien had all kinds of tentacles and stuff.
I thought the same thing. I'm like, this is the alien from the abyss.
It's pretty close to the alien from the abyss.
I mean, I guess that could work, right? I mean, there's no reason to think that the aliens from the abyss haven't been around for a while.
I mean, did the question that I have is the abyss Star Trek continuity? Like, is the abyss something that happened in Star Trek history? Because the ending of the abyss really does kind of start to set the stage for Star Trek's future.
That's true.
And we certainly have not learned the lesson from the abyss.
No.
So maybe.
You know why we haven't learned the lesson from the abyss? Because it's never been released on Blu-ray or even anamorphic DVD. So there's an entire generation which hasn't seen it. The generation which needs to see the abyss hasn't been able to watch it.
I agree. I mean, like, ultimately, like, everything wrong with the world right now is the fault of James Cameron.
Yeah, there was Terminator Salvation. What was the name of that thing? Terminator. Yeah. Anyway, so yes, but I don't think that the abyss works, because even though it does show us heading towards that future, it would have been before the eugenics wars. Or would it?
No, it's pretty much concurrent.
Right. Yeah. Still. No, doesn't work. All right. So, yeah, that was it. That was the girl. She made some stars.
Yeah, I justify the possibility that this happened in history by saying that that what she did was she revealed some sort of thing. Like, there was a shield blocking them from seeing the stars, and she
right.
made that go away, and that's how that works. And I don't know why that particular section of the Earth was blocked from seeing space, but, I mean, there's probably a lot of stuff that was going on. I mean, aliens were visiting Earth on a regular basis at the time.
Right. So, I mean, it does work. It does. It works in the, well, for one thing, it works because anything that they say could be not true. And we know that parts of it are not true. So whatever, you know, there could be some kernel of truth in there, and then that's perfectly fine. But even if there isn't, I mean, who cares? I mean, the thing that it does, I think, more than anything, is show the character of Michael back when she was a little kid. And you see that sort of origin for her, you know, her personality, that sort of like drive, and that, like, you know, screw you, darkness, I'm not scared of you, like that kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean,
that's why she doesn't sleep with the lights on in Discovery.
There's not a lot of scenes of her sleeping. We can't really confirm that.
Like with Tilly, you know, I mean,
Yeah,
I'm not sure. Yeah, because there's that scene where, like, she's asleep when Tilly comes in, and Tilly's like, "That's my bad."
I think the important thing is that we still don't know exactly where reality is, because she's got an F-frame plush toy.
Yeah, and it looks like there's some time crystals sitting in the background there.
What is going on? Like, where is the reality here? Are these people aware of the fourth wall? I mean, if they are, that would explain a lot.
I mean, you could say that that's just a random tardigrade stuffed animal. I mean, you can buy, like, a tardigrade stuffed animal right now online. But
when she heard about tardigrades in Discovery, she didn't go like, "Oh, I love tardigrades. They're so cute."
Yeah,
I had a squish when I was a kid.
Right. Yeah, that's the problem, right? And the time crystals, you could say, "Well, that's just a cool design."
It's just a but crystal
I think
guy.
I think that those were some, you know, like, you know, Pixar type of Easter eggs that are thrown in, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever. It is what it is. So, yeah, on the whole, good episode, I would say. Yeah. My wife was like, "This is the best thing ever," you know. Like, she loved this episode. I wasn't quite that enthusiastic, but maybe it was also because I just watched Ephraim and Dot prior to that, so I was already like, well, you know, it's like when you watch Citizen Kane and then you watch
the Entourage movie.
The Entourage movie. Yeah, you're like, well, the Entourage movie was good, but it wasn't as good as Citizen Kane. I I'd say that was accurate. That's accurate.
Okay. All right. Yeah, it's not. What's fine?
Well, I would say that Ephraim and Dot is not quite as good as Citizen Kane, and The Girl Who Made the Stars is better than the Entourage movie, but they both fall in the middle.
Okay. It is critical to figure out where these things rank.
I mean, that's what gives our lives meaning, right?
Well...
Look, I mean, I'm in a ranking mode right now because, you know, we're at the end of the year, so I've been trying to compile my top 10 for the year. But then, on top of it, it's the end of the decade, so I need to compile my top 10 of the decade. Anyway, look for those lists soon. All right, that's it for Discovery. We don't know when there's going to be more Discovery. We don't. We just don't know. We're in Picard mode now. And then after that, I don't know. There's some question as to whether it's going to be season 3 of Discovery or season 1 of Lower Decks. Personally, I'm hoping for season 1 of Lower Decks. Nothing against Discovery, but I mean, holy crap, right? You know what I mean.
I mean, it seems to me like what they've got to do is release another Discovery trailer.
Oh, hey, let's do it. Yeah, let's ring in the new year with another Discovery trailer.
Because if you're forgetting that Discovery, like, next season is coming soon, then, like, that's a problem for their marketing division.
I'm not forgetting that it's coming soon. I'm saying I think Lower Decks comes out first.
I don't know. I mean, I'm just happy about all of these things. I'm not really... I haven't forgotten that any of these things are coming. I'm like just sort of like number one is Picard because I've been waiting for that for a very long time.
Number one is Picard because Picard has number one.
That's not the reason, but like number one is a big deal. He definitely proved that this is going to be an amazing show. So I'm excited about all of it.
You know, one thing which we didn't talk about at all, which is kind of weird, you know, but they've made progress on the movie as well. They've hired Noah Hawley to write and direct.
Yeah, this is... I don't know how to feel about this. Because, like, on the one hand, those movies have not been good so far. And on the other hand, Noah Hawley is... I mean, this is weird to think, but, like, he's kind of better than them.
You know what's really weird to me is that everyone is like... Why are they giving him another chance at making a movie after Lucy in the Sky? And my thinking is like, yeah, Lucy in the Sky was bad, right? Okay, fine. But how many Emmys has this guy won in recent years? And also, like, Lucy in the Sky, it was bad, but it wasn't like he's like, oh, let me make a Star Trek type of movie and then failed. Like, he was trying for something weird and crazy and messed up with Lucy in the Sky, and he went for it and it didn't work, but he tried it. So, you know, A for effort. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I still haven't seen Lucy in the Sky. It didn't hold a lot of interest for me, but, like, I mean, that's how it was with Fargo. It took me a million years to get around to that.
You know, I know that you're coming back to town next week. You know who else is in town?
No. Why would I know?
Noah Hawley shooting freaking Fargo. They set up their camp in Oak Park.
Oh, that's weird.
And they've been going all around. And Chris Rock is in this season and everything. I haven't seen them yet. And I hear that they're taking a break for Christmas, which makes sense. But we'll have to go on a little... quest and see if we can track down Noah Hawley. And you know, I did get a shirt made. I got one of these for Tarantino where it's like you know, like the original series credit font, and it says directed by Quentin Tarantino. And yes, I just got one made that says written and directed by Noah Hawley. It's pretty awesome. So
okay, yeah, that's cool.
Anyway, be sure to check out our Discovery coverage throughout the week. We've got Live from the Edge, we've got Postcards from the Edge, we've got the main show, we've got Notes from the Edge, and you can find all of these in the main feed for the Edge or in the Trek FM master feed. We'd love to hear your thoughts on Discovery, and the best place to do that is in the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook.
Why don't you call it Discoverage?
You know what? Next time I will.
Okay.
You can also find us on Twitter at TrekFM, or you can send us an email using the contact form on our website at trek.fm/contact. Choose to send to a show and choose the edge. Max, where can people find you on the internet?
I'm on Twitter at jmaxhagel. I can't think of anything else.
Well, you can find me on Twitter at mumbles3k and on Letterboxd at mumbles3k, where you'll also be able to find my top 10 lists for this year and like every year going back to like 1997, I think. And also you can find my list for the best of the decade there soon. I still need to see 1917, and I need to see Star Wars Episode 9, The Rise of Skywalker, and, well, that's pretty much it for the decade. I don't think that Little Women is going to crack the top 10 of the decade, really, but we'll see. Anyway, okay. We'd also like to thank our associate producers, Norman C. Lau, Tony Robinson, Thomas Puleo, Lisa Slack, Shoaib Mirza, Richard Rutledge, James Muldrow, Cornelia Reutner, Ryan Malet, Brian Melosh, and Chris Tribuzio. Thank you very much for your support. We couldn't do it without you. If you'd like to help us keep all of our shows going and even become an associate producer yourself, visit patreon.com/trekfm for all the details. All right, I guess that's it. Boy, lots of Star Trek on the horizon. The future is bright because the girl made the stars and all that stuff. And thanks.
So bright. Gotta wear shades.
Thanks, girl. Yeah. All right. I guess that's it. Until next week, do you have an edge pun that we can use? I need to think of these in advance. It'd be a lot better. The show would be a lot better if we prepared. But that seems like a lot of work. Let's just leave it as is. We will talk to you next month.